Hi, I'm Guy, and in the last cool podcast first, I'm drinking something other than Guinness.
What are you drinking?
A white wine.
White wine, very nice. I'm Alex, and I'm drinking a Roosters Brewing Company Yankee Pale Ale.
It's almost time at the bar.
And this is the Last Call podcast. This week, like every week, we'll be talking anything and everything, both pub-related and otherwise, in the signature fashion of people who have just got to the last drink of the night. And to start us off, we ran a poll on Twitter throughout the week based on an argument we had last episode. Last episode, we had an argument about whether or not swallowing vomit that you have vomited up into your own mouth counts as drinking vomit, and the results are in. 32% of people say that it does count as drinking vomit, but 68% of people say no.
Well, that's a lot of people that don't want to come to terms with the fact that they've drunk vomit. They don't want to admit that. So that's what they're doing. They go, well, no, I couldn't have possibly drunk vomit, so no, it's not drinking. But I'm sorry, you have. But I guess I owe you a fiver now, don't I?
Yeah, I guess you do. And I think it's also another Twitter poll that I've won.
It is. So what are you, 2 from 2?
Well, we had the sauerkraut yes or no.
Oh, the rat lady. So you're 3 from 3.
And the rat lady, 3 for 3.
What a load of fucking bollocks.
I don't know. I think people get me, you know?
No, I stand by what I said. I think people just don't want to accept the fact that they have drunk vomit. But hey, whatever, if that's the way you want to live your life, you know, I could never possibly drunk vomit, fine, whatever, be that way.
I can tell you're totally fine with it.
Yeah, I'm good. It doesn't bother me at all.
Well, we'll chalk that up on the last call scoreboard as my third undefeated Twitter poll, and move swiftly onwards to a debate. Or a discussion, yes. Or a conversation.
Or an argument.
We'll wait and see. What do you got for us this week, Guy?
Well, I wanted to have a chat with you because the weather is getting unbelievably nice. I know we're due some rain next week.
It is quite warm.
But oh my days, this is actually the first summer I've ever been like, yes, I want sun. Usually I'm like, fuck this. I love cold. I love being in the cold. But this year I'm like, no, give me all the heat. And I just wanted to talk to you about the Great British Barbecue. Now, we're a family, if anybody knows us, we're a family that love a barbecue. I think our dad spent possibly most of his life savings on a brick-built barbecue. He's now slowly...
He is I believe he went bankrupt. In fact, yeah. We had to sell the house and we lived in the brick-built barbecue because he'd blown all of the money.
So, yeah, so he's a big fan of barbecues and obviously got this brick-built barbecue, and we've sort of never looked back since. And what we're doing this weekend, I thought I'd let you know, is we're getting a 4 kilo beef brisket.
Why is it that all the good barbecue stuff happens when I'm not there?
Well, it's not really my fault that you're in isolation in Bath.
Can you save me some brisket?
Are you going to be here in the next 5 days?
Probably not.
Well, then, no, I can't. But...
Oh, man, I'd love some of that. I love brisket.
Yeah, so we're going to get a little bit of brisket. I'm going to make a rub, get a little rub on it, and then I'm going to make some homemade Texas barbecue sauce. Even though I looked in the comments of BBC Good Food, and everyone was like, well, this ain't Texas. This isn't how they do it in Texas. It's like, what the fuck? What, if you're so Texas, what are you doing on BBC
Good
Food?
Yeah, get off the BBC Good Food website. It's not for you.
So I'm going to make a bit of that. I would have loved to smoke it, but we don't have a smoker.
Ah, I was just going to say, were you going to do proper southern barbecue and low and slow it?
No, unfortunately, we're going to have to do most of it in the oven and then char it on the barbecue.
Nice.
But yeah, so it's barbecue weather. What are your picks for a good barbecue? I think you've got to have sort of the staples, the burger, the sausages.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah, because that's the... it's the most basic a barbecue is going to have burgers and hot dogs. You've got to be able to do that. But I think a real barbecue should encompass a little bit of everything. I actually enjoyed a barbecue myself a couple of days ago. Now, I know what you're thinking. Mm. You're thinking, I don't have a garden. How did I pull off a barbecue in isolation? And I'll tell you, cooked it all in the kitchen and then ate it outside. So it really wasn't the same thing. But we went barbecue style food, and we had we obviously had the burgers and sausages. We had chicken. We did low and slow ribs. We did prawn and chorizo kebabs. I swear there was other stuff.
I think when it comes to barbecue, you've got to have a real, you've got to encompass the spirit of it. I think, you know, I think for you, even though you did it in the kitchen, I feel like you had the spirit of barbecue
well,
in mind.
We went outside, you know,
enjoy the barbecue.
We had potato salad, wedges, you know, we made a little mixed leaf salad. We had all the sort of bits and pieces you would have. So I feel we did okay.
I have a real, not an issue, but I just feel like you can't call yourself a real, I don't know, barbecuist, a barbecuer.
Briarist, barbecuist.
I don't know. But I don't think until you have cooked a barbecue on charcoal or wood.
Oh, yeah. A gas is just an outdoor grill. You're not achieving anything.
Look, no, I don't wanna put anybody down, but if you cook on gas, don't come in bragging about it. Oh, I cooked up a mean barbecue. Did you? Cause on charcoal, there's a real control there. It's you've gotta things in the back are gonna cook faster than things in the front. You got to move everything around. You got to keep it moving. I mean,
you're adding flavor. The charcoal smoke is part of what makes barbecue food barbecue food.
Exactly. I mean, I would love to have a smoker. This is what I've been doing with my time in isolation. I'm watching like a shitload of smoking videos.
Have you watched anything from Aaron Franklin?
Yes. What
he
a
is
master.
The king. You've seen his masterclass trailer.
I've seen his masterclass trailer.
It looks excellent. That's real Texan style.
That's
barbecue.
Real barbecue, I think. I think if you're cooking on charcoal, that's your stepping stone to take it to the next level. Get a smoker, smoke some meat. Let's just run through a normal barbecue.
In the Salcedo family household.
As a family. So we'd have burgers, sausages, ribs,
steaks,
pork chops,
ooh,
steaks, and some kind of stuffed chicken. And that would just be one barbecue.
That would be a base. That would be a slow day barbecue.
And if anybody's wondering, how on earth do you get all of this meat? Well, it's thanks to our local butchers, Clarkies. And we were there the other day ordering the brisket, right? And you'll love this. You'll love this story. So we've been going to this butcher's for years. It's a real local butcher's.
Since before we were born, our parents were getting their meat from Clarkies. That is the kind of customer loyalty you can only get from a small town butcher's. There is none of that at the meat counter in Morrison's. I could tell you that.
No, that's what you got to do. And especially now, that's the kind of shit you get when you support local businesses.
100%.
You know what I mean?
100%, and more than ever, you should be looking after your independence. If anyone in the Norfolk area is dazzled by this great-sounding meat, then by all means, do check out Clark's Butchers in Hevingham. You can check them out on their website, www.clarksbutchery.co.uk. We're not sponsored by them, we just love them.
God, I wish we were.
Matthew, if you're listening, you want to send some sausages down to Bath, then we can do a shout-out every week.
Throw us a bone, literally. Hi, I'm Guy, and today I'm eating a succulent marinated steak.
I'm Alex, and I'm enjoying a stuffed chicken breast with mozzarella and peppers.
That's where we need to get it. I can't really remember what the whole point of this conversation was. I guess maybe to just talk about barbecue.
Talk about barbecues and how much we love barbecues. And sitting outside in the sunshine.
And now from Monday, which is
the day that we release. Yep.
Yeah. So from today... people can go sit in back gardens and chill out.
Yeah, I would say groups of six.
Groups of six.
Groups of eight. No, groups of six.
Which is very, very good. So everybody can get around, have a good drink. Lovely. Everything's coming together.
Moving on. The news has been a bit down in the dumps recently. And it's all... There's no good news out there. So I went looking for good news stories. And I, be honest... couldn't really find any, so I went a little bit further back and looked at odd news stories from history. Do you know who John Young is?
No.
John Young is my kind of guy. He was an astronaut. He was one of NASA's longest serving active astronauts. He flew on the Gemini missions. He piloted the space shuttle. He's one of only three people who've ever been to the moon on two separate occasions.
Wow.
He is also the first man to get yelled at by NASA for smuggling a sandwich into space.
I love that.
Yeah, I believe it was Gemini 3. It was Gemini 3. It was Young and an astronaut named Gus Grissom were orbiting the Earth. They were meant to be testing how astronauts would eat in space. And they have a... there is a transcript here of the conversation aboard Gemini 3 between Young and Grissom.
Okay.
It starts with Grissom. What is that? Young, corned beef sandwich. Grissom, where did that come from? Young, I brought it with me. Let's see how it tastes. Smells, doesn't it? Grissom, yes. Grissom, yes, it's breaking up. I'm going to stick it in my pocket. Young, is it? It was a thought. Not a very good one. Grissom, apparently it sounded like he took a bite and said, it's pretty good, though, if it would just hold together.
Oh, my God.
NASA ended up setting up an appropriations committee to question him about this. And in, I believe in front of Congress, said these words, taken from a congressional transcript. We have taken steps to prevent recurrence of corned beef sandwiches in future flights.
Well, hold on. This now opens up. So,
pastrami?
Yeah, can I take a New Yorker? one of the three bird roast ones you get from Marks and Spencer's at Christmas time?
Ooh. See, that story really cheered me up. Not only because it was quite interesting to learn about a great astronaut who sadly passed away a couple of years ago, but also, what a legacy. Apparently, he was quite annoyed that he was known as the corned beef sandwich guy, not the longest serving astronaut or the guy who went to the moon on two separate occasions or anything like that. I would love to be known as the corned beef sandwich guy. What are you known for? Oh, NASA bitched me out because I took my lunch into space.
I'm the guy that took my lunch into space.
Especially when you consider they spend millions and millions of dollars on space food.
Well, yeah. Well, there's that whole thing, isn't it? You know, NASA spent years and years and years developing a pen that works in space, and then Russia just took a pencil.
I don't think that's true.
I just think Americans are dumb.
Oh no, I think that's true. Not all of you.
Sorry,
but
I'm talking, you listen.
I'm talking on balance. If we look at the curve, if we averaged you out, I'm sorry. It might not necessarily be you. You might be highly intelligent, maybe even more intelligent than me or Guy. But on average, you got a lot of people dragging your average down. One of them leads your country, so, you know.
And right now, it's very hard to get around America, not going to lie.
What, you mean like traveling?
No. I mean...
Not a lot of buses running.
No. I mean, like, being on board with America.
Yeah, there's some...
As it stands, I'm not that it's going to affect this country of so many million people, but I have refused to now travel to America because of everything that's going on. I don't like the idea that a country like that would be taking my money and I would be benefiting their economy. I know what you're thinking. Wow, that's really petty.
I was thinking, what money? I was like, oh no, America's going to miss out on that.
Oh, wow. Okay, we didn't need to go there, did we? But I'm just saying, so one of my dreams is to go to New York and California, but I'm refusing to do it with everything that's going on. I'm like, nah, fuck that shit. They're not getting my tourism.
You didn't consider Michigan?
No. I don't want to go anywhere in America.
Yeah, but...
And just to stick the knife in, I'm going to go to Canada.
Oh, no, I'd love to go to Canada. It looks fucking
I would really love to go to Canada. Canada looks really good. don't know, man. I really couldn't care less if we piss off Americans. They all annoy me, apart from maybe three. Nah, cut that out. I don't want that in. Because I really enjoy, like, American TV.
Yeah, I was just going to say, in movies. You know, like, Endgame doesn't count anymore.
Bitching about America, and I'm about to have some Budweiser.
What's next?
I'll tell you what. A little controversy from one of my favorite hobbies, which is obviously sim racing.
Ooh, go on.
So Formula E have been running virtual Grand Prix. Mm. And there was a driver who drives for Audi called Daniel Abt. And he went on, there was a race, right? And as he was racing, it usually cuts to a camera, but his face was obstructed with a mic. He came third. And when they wanted to interview the podium, his screen was black and it was because of connection issues. And it turns out he had hired a professional sim racer, because there is a little bit of difference between racing in sim and racing in real life.
Yeah, of course.
He'd hired a professional sim racer to race in his place. Audi have now dropped him.
Yeah, as is right, I'd say. That's just straight up cheating, I think.
It's not great. So this guy runs a YouTube channel, and in his apology in his YouTube channel, he talks about how he wanted to showcase sim races against real races.
Really? By hiding their face behind a mic and not telling anyone? He wanted to cheat. Here's the thing. If he'd turned around and he'd been like, look, I love sim racing. I think it's great. But I know this great sim racer. He's going to drive in my place on behalf of me. And I think he'll be interested to see how he gets on. Then it would be different. In fact, I'd say it'd be completely fine. Because there's a difference between trying something out and being like, don't tell anyone, but you drive in my place. He was trying to fucking cheat. You can't even talk. He was trying to fucking cheat.
But do you think, even though it's a game, at the moment it's replacing the only motorsport we have, do you think it should be taken as seriously? I think it should, because if people are investing, if these teams are investing money...
You can't, if you're going to stop taking sports seriously because they're a bit odd or a bit silly, then what's going to happen
or if they're virtual,
what's going to happen to you? If it's a sport and someone's sponsoring it, then yeah, it should absolutely be taken seriously. Okay. Unless it's cricket. If it's cricket, then
oh my god,
it's boring.
You're boring.
Make it more interesting. Here's something. Set the balls on fire. There you are. Make it a fireball. Something's got to fucking happen in that game. Jesus Christ, and people love it. They think it's so fucking interesting.
Because if you go and watch it, you just sit there having a chat, getting drunk all day. Great.
You could do that in a park without the fucking cricket going on.
And then, but if something does happen...
On the off chance that something will happen in 5 fucking days, maybe something will happen.
No, you don't get it, man. And then if you watch it on TV, I mean, if you sit down and watch Test cricket, the minute it starts, the minute it ends, you're a bit odd. But I put it on and have it in the background. And I like to come, watch a few overs, you know, do some stuff. It's great. In the summer, it's great.
It is fucking boring. Stick some music on in the background and you wouldn't even miss it.
You're telling me that when Ben Stokes, in the I think it was the third test of the Ashes, it was him and, what's his name? Chap with the glasses. And it was the last over, and he was doing everything to take that test.
Yeah, don't get me wrong.
Oh, my God. Six after six after six. It was amazing.
Yeah, he was there for fucking ages.
Poetry in motion. Stokesy. Sir Ben Stokes.
He was there for a very long time and he was playing incredible cricket, but incredible cricket is still on par with, like, paint drying. It's still boring as fuck. It's just the reason that was such an incredible moment is because it had been hours and hours of
fuck
all.
You think it's boring because...
There's someone hit a ball right the way to the edges.
It's long.
Over and over and over again. You're like, oh, fucking, that blew my mind.
If you hit it to the edge, that's a four. That's a big deal. If you hit it out, it's a six. That's even better.
Right. It's like, yeah, this guy hit it out of the park over and over and over again. I'm not taking it away from him. That was absolutely incredible cricket. However, put it into the grand scheme of really incredible things that you could see. Just a guy hitting a fucking ball. And it was the highlight. It was the best bit of the whole fucking event was that. And you're like, wow. Oh, I'm glad I stuck around for that. Jesus Christ.
But if you're saying that, you know, look at rugby. It's just a bunch of guys smacking each other.
Yeah, but crazy shit happens second by second in rugby. Crazy shit does happen. You see crazy tackles. You see great passes. You actually good rugby beats incredible cricket.
Nah. It's 30 people chasing a ball. On paper, it sounds well boring.
Shall we see what cricket is on paper? It's a load of blokes fucking standing around. They stand around, they play rounders with a stupid bat. Oh, they're such a bunch of fucking... They're not, they're incredible sportsmen, but the sport is just a joke, really. Great if you need to get to sleep in the middle of the day.
I don't know how you can say that.
It's boring. It is boring.
It's not boring. I'll agree, it's long. It's
long as fuck. There's no need for anything to be that long. Nobody cares that much.
So you wouldn't go watch 2020?
Probably not.
Well, then you're missing out.
Here's the thing. Here's what sounds the best about cricket to me. The best part of it is spending a day sat in the sun, drinking and eating,
yeah,
and having a picnic.
That's what you
do. So and I then could do that without fucking
off,
cricket going on. What do you mean shit goes off the chain? What, he hits the ball and goes all the way out? Whoa! Oh, Jesus Christ!
Well, yeah, and then he hits it again and again.
Oh,
and you're like,
oh my God,
I can't believe what I'm seeing.
Oh, the guy who trains for hours and hours, the guy who trained all his life to hit the ball out of the park, hit the ball out of the park again and again and again. Oh, was he going to... Oh, he's hit the ball out of the park again. Oh, my God, it's like he trained for this day in and day out.
Oh, God. Fine. Jesus.
It is dull.
I respectively disagree.
I have nothing but respect for the athletes who take part, but I have no respect for the sport. Come at me, cricket, what are you going to do?
I just want to quickly point out, I just want to quickly throw back to, what, a couple of episodes ago where we talked about guys who heckle sportsmen, saying, oh, to be fair, you didn't say you could do it.
No, I didn't, and I didn't heckle the sportsmen. I think I could not do what they do, and I have nothing but respect for them. The sport, however, is a joke. A joke? Okay.
We'll let it go.
Jack Leach, by the way, is the guy you were thinking of with the glasses. From the
what Gregor. A legend. He had one job there, one job only.
He also did so little. Like, that was Stokes'
glory. No. Okay, no. Jack Leach was as responsible for that glory as Stokesy. All he had to do was make sure he hit it so he could put Stokesy back on strike.
He was
talk about Jack Leach.
He was a very good Robin to Ben Stokes' Batman. Literally Batman. That wasn't an intentional pun.
I'll agree with that.
However, at the end of the day, what did they really achieve? Smacking a ball out of the park.
Yeah, I know, and we still lost the Ashes.
Enough about cricket. I can feel myself falling asleep just talking about it.
What do you want to talk about? Ooh, bowl, pints, ooh. would you like that on draft? Ooh. What tonic would you like?
More interesting than cricket. Believe me, that's 100%. Working behind a bar is more interesting than cricket, 100%.
Oh, sorry, we're running a reduced menu at the moment.
Do you remember
the exciting thing you do?
Bartenders as a whole have some pretty interesting shit. Can I remind you of the story of the guy finding the dead junkie in the toilets? There's no dead bodies in cricket apart from the elderly that go there.
I mean, I want to say that deaths do occur in cricket, but I don't want to open up that box again.
Yeah, I know. And we found out it was something ridiculous, like 18 in 300 years. So it doesn't really any more than death occurs in wrapping Christmas presents.
All right. Go on. Do you want a pizza recommendation? I have a pizza recommendation.
Oh, if you have a pizza recommendation, I'll take one. That's a blast from the past. Oh, it was a couple of episodes back we start going to the topic of pizzas.
Well, this comes from Tash Rabbage.
That's a very Australian-sounding name.
It is. She is Australian.
Oh, look at that.
I think it's Rabbage. I've never actually heard it said. I've only read it.
I believe it's Rabbage. Rabbage.
Well, she says, butter chicken.
Okay. Right? All right.
Yeah, you know,
yeah,
you know what butter chicken is.
I know what butter chicken is.
Okay. A naan base.
Mm-hmm.
And mozzarella.
That's it.
That's it.
Tash, take your naan and your mozzarella and your butter chicken and your rabbage and get the fuck out.
Well, okay.
It's a naan bread with fucking butter chicken in it. That's not a pizza.
Was there more? I can't remember if there was like maybe some red sauce or something.
I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt here and assume there was more because there is no way.
Was there rice?
Even then, what are you doing? It's a naan bread. You're just eating just putting your curry on a naan bread.
But with mozzarella. Cheese,
but with mozzarella.
And it's baked. It's all baked.
I couldn't disagree with that more. Don't be wrong. I'd eat it. I just wouldn't call it a pizza. It's more of a flatbread at that point.
I don't know.
Baking something doesn't make it a pizza, otherwise we wouldn't call them jacket potatoes, we'd call them chippy pizzas.
Well, I think, okay, no, I agree with everything you just said, apart from, I think this butter chicken, I think it's onto something, man. I feel like it's got the essence.
Here's what would change it for me. Swap that naan bread out for pizza dough. Proper base, and then we can talk. I feel like it needs something a bit more than just butter chicken and cheese. But then we can talk. But because you got the naan bread, it just feels like you're making a different cuisine. There's no reason why you couldn't do an Indian-inspired pizza.
Pizza, yeah.
But you're just an Indian. I've looked up the dictionary definition of the word pizza. Would you like to know what it is?
If it has the word baked in it.
Does have the word baked in it. Obviously, it's the word baked in it.
Oh, how the turns have tabled.
It says, a dish of Italian origin consisting of a flat round base of dough baked with a topping of tomatoes and cheese, typically with added meat, fish, or vegetables. And then they've used the word pizza in a sentence. As an example, it says, a cheese and tomato pizza. Like that would help you understand what it was from context. If you didn't what's a pizza? Oh, you know, like a cheese and tomato pizza. Then you'd be like, okay, well, at least I know it's a food.
Yeah. Spell pizza. Can you use it in a sentence? Cheese and tomato pizza.
Wikipedia goes in even more. Pizza is a savory dish of Italian origin consisting of a usually round, flattened base of leavened wheat-based dough. Topped with tomatoes, cheese, various other ingredients, baked at high temperature in a wood-fired oven. A small pizza is sometimes called a pizzetta.
Fucking hell, you talk about cricket being boring.
All right, well, fuck you then. You asked if I wanted a pizza recommendation. I'm trying to squeeze some content out of this. It's not my fault that Tash can't push the podcast along. Don't blame me for her shitty pizza recommendation. Well, just order a fucking Indian and pile it on the naan. There you go. Pizza. Fantastic. Done. Well, great one, Tash. Keep them coming in. If you are listening, Tash, Of course, I'm exaggerating for comic effect. We're very thankful that you sent in your pizza recommendation, and I will try it.
I think that's along the lines of a pizza.
It's close, but it's not a pizza. Looks like a pizza. Sounds like a pizza, but it's not a pizza.
Cooked like a pizza.
Lasagna is cooked like a pizza, guy. You just put it in an oven.
So it's baked. I think so what? You've replaced the dough with naan. You've made, instead of the passata, you've made a butter chicken sauce. And then you've topped it with cheese, red onion, and tomato.
I've got it. And I wish I had it earlier because it could have saved all this argument, but it's just come to me. If you're making a pizza, you bake the whole thing in one go. When you make that pizza, the naans were pre-baked. You don't make naan dough.
What? Oh my god.
You were the guy who said a pizza has to be baked. But they're not baking it. They're just warming the toppings.
I didn't say it needed to be baked all at once. The naans are baked and then baked again. That's double baked. No. I love that.
A real pizza is raw dough, sauce, meat, and you put it in and the whole thing bakes together. This might as well be fucking cheese on toast. How do you make naan bread? Do you want to guess? Guess how you make naan bread and I'll tell you.
Okay, I don't know the ingredients. But I'm guessing you need it. What?
Well, yeah, obviously you need ingredients. Otherwise you couldn't cook anything.
No. No, you fucking moron. You need it.
Yeah, I know you need bread. Yeah, you need... Well, you don't need bread to make naan bread.
You need the dough!
Well, yeah, but of course you need it. Otherwise you couldn't make it. You have to have it. You literally need it. But otherwise, what's your point?
Do you fry it a bit as well?
I don't know, but let me tell you something. There's one obvious person to ask.
The guys at the Gate of India?
No. Even more obvious than that. When you think naan breads, you think immediately of this name.
Naan bread.
What a treat for our listeners. Just you going, naan.
I don't know anybody... You don't mean Wes?
No, although he probably would know. Good guess, it was Jamie Oliver.
Ah. I hate Jamie Oliver.
He winds me up too, but I think he might be able to help us out with how naan breads are made. He's got a recipe here, not just for naan breads, but for incredible naan breads.
That's a bold claim.
You need yeast, honey, butter, flour, low-fat natural yogurt, nigella seeds. I'm not sure, you definitely need all of that.
Nigella seed from Nigella Lawson.
Yeah, you need to go and scrape some seeds off Nigella Lawson. Do you know what? It honestly doesn't fucking tell me. here you go. Heat a large nonstick frying pan over a high heat. Add a naan bread and cook. There you go.
What do you mean, add a naan bread? I'm trying to make the naan bread.
Add the dough.
You mean I just have all the ingredients and then...
Well, I'm ready to go. If you want me to fucking run you through it straight off the bat, you take the yeast, the honey, and some lukewarm water, combine them, set it aside for 5 minutes or until the yeast starts to bubble, melt the ghee in a small pan, combine the flour and a half a tablespoon of sea salt in a large bowl, make a well in the middle, put the melted ghee into the well, followed by the yogurt, then the yeast mixture, beat the wet ingredients together with a fork, gradually start incorporating the flour from the sides until it starts to form a rough dough, then you bring it together with your hands. Once it's soft and sticky, you add more water if you think it needs it. Then you knead the dough on a flour-dusted surface for 5 minutes or until smooth. Then you put in a lightly floured bowl, cover with a clean tea towel, leave in a warm place for an hour and a half. Once it's risen, knock back the dough with your fist, divide into 6 balls, roll each portion into an oval shape, and then heat a large non-stick frying pan over a high heat. You are, so don't make that face, because I told you and no, you made a big thing.
I was about to say, you do need it.
Well, obviously you need it, otherwise you can't make anything.
Oh! What a fucking waste of time.
Yeah, that was a huge waste of time. Shall we switch things up?
Is it that time?
What time would that be, guy?
Time for Tales Behind the Bar.
That was a nice lead in there.
Awesome.
We did well. Quite a few tales.
Ooh, yes.
This week. I know you've got some. I've got a few here.
I do. Shall I start?
You know what? Why don't you start for a change?
Yeah, I think I will. Thank you very much. So this comes from, I got two. This one comes from my mate Beans, who's from Somerset.
Ah, I'm in Somerset right now. Look at that. Go on, and Beans. Yeah.
They're very short, like one sentence, but there's a lot to it.
Right? All right.
So one of them is, a West Country man tried to sell him a unicorn.
A unicorn.
So I know you obviously work in a bar.
I do.
Or a pub in the West Country.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Have you ever had a man try and sell you a unicorn?
I haven't, but let me tell you, I totally believe it. 100%. I could 100% see any one of my regulars trying to sell me a unicorn. What?
I thought you were about to say, I believe they're real.
What, unicorns? No, I don't. Yeah. However, has anyone completely disproven their existence?
Don't you think if there was a unicorn, we would have seen it by now?
They say the same thing about Bigfoot, my friend.
I don't think there's an argument for, I've never seen it, so it can't be real. Do you know how many fucking religious people that would piss off?
Hang on, your argument is, I've never seen it, so it can't be real. My argument is, I've never seen it, so I can't say it's not real.
No, I'm saying,
you've never seen it, so it can't be real.
No, I know they're not real. I've never seen it, but I know they're not real.
How do you know?
Well, it's like Santa Claus. Everyone knows he's not real.
How do you know that?
Little thing. Because, right, a unicorn wasn't some crazed guy going, oh, I think I've seen one. It was someone, man or woman, going, do you want to make this horse really cute? I put a horn on it, made it white, called it a unicorn, made rainbows come out of it, but I can sell that to kids. Same with Santa Claus.
Are unicorns real?
You didn't just Google that.
Yeah, of course I Googled it.
Fuck's sake.
You're not going to know until you check it out, are you?
It's like a Loch Ness monster. I think we would know if they were real.
Would you?
I don't think we'd have to Google that.
Would you know if they're real? All I'm saying is, you don't know. You don't know for sure. You don't know for certain. I'm
pretty sure.
But not certain.
The only way unicorns would be real is if they were under the sea.
Possibly. Or in space. Moving on. What have we got next for us?
What do you mean moving on? We barely talked about that. A guy tried to sell him a fucking unicorn. What if he had said yes?
Maybe the guy had a unicorn. You don't know. I blame Beansy for saying no. Should have followed this up.
I think it's fair to assume the guy didn't have a unicorn.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah, fair assumption he didn't. But again, you don't know. You could only ever be 99.9% sure he didn't have a unicorn.
I would be 100% sure.
100% sure? Nah, 99.9. How do you know he's not going back to his house and going out to his stable where his unicorn's there and going, not today, Sparkles. One day.
We'd know if unicorns were real.
Would we?
If someone discovered a unicorn, do you think they're keeping that a secret? No. Do you know how much fucking money they could make?
I might keep it a secret.
You wouldn't keep it a secret.
Yeah, I fucking would. If it could fly.
But then people would know it was real.
No.
If you flew on it, people would see it.
No, go up really high.
So you couldn't breathe.
Not that high.
It's weird, like...
middle so high. People could,
middle high. What the fuck are you talking about? Can't you go to go high enough so people can't see you? I'm sorry, Alexander. You live in the middle of town.
Mm-hmm.
How the fuck are you taking off without anybody seeing you?
At night, I live in the middle of town. Nobody lives around me. Take it up at night or early morning.
You'd only fly at night.
Catch a sunrise. Right,
so how would you land?
Wait till night.
Early morning.
Or land somewhere low key.
Fly on a unicorn all night.
Yeah, take a picnic. Couple of Scotch eggs. You're telling me that if you... Hang on. If you had a unicorn, you're telling me that the novelty would just wear off for you. If you were flying on a horse, you'd be like, fuck this, I'm done with this.
I'd be making so much money off that, and so would you.
Probably would, but I might keep it secret for a little while. And in fact... Isn't this guy in the story trying to make money off the unicorn? He's trying to sell it.
Exactly. Smart man.
So we agree that he probably had a unicorn.
No, he didn't. But if he did, smart guy. I'm just going to read you the next story. a man got locked in the toilets overnight, stayed in the toilet all night.
Oh, shit. You hear horror stories about that.
Hmm. They locked up the bar, didn't realise he was in there.
That man made a critical error. Because if he had left the toilets, one of two things would have happened. The internal intruder alarm would have gone off, and someone would have been called and could have let him out. Or the alarm wouldn't have gone off, and he would have been in a pub overnight with no way of getting out and free roam. If I was locked in a pub overnight, I would drink from that bar. If it was my own, if it was my own fault, if I was hiding or something like that, then no, that's not so. But if I went for a piss and I came out and they'd locked it all up, then yeah, I'd have some drinks. When they came back, I'd be just explain it. Be like, you locked me in the pub. Nobody checked.
But wouldn't they just charge him for all that drink?
He'd just walk away. Probably take him a while to clock you'd even drunk anything. Would you like a tale from behind the bar from my end?
Yes.
I've got one here. It's real short. It came in from Anonymous. And you'll see why. It's not really a tale from behind the bar either. It just says, I once got thrown out of a restaurant for sticking a salt shaker up my ass. It was shaped like a koala.
Why was the salt shaker shaped like
a koala? That was my first question. That was the first thing I thought. That really jumped out to me. I was like, we can deal with you and the salt shaker. Why was it shaped like a koala? Do you reckon it was an Aussie restaurant or an Australian themed restaurant?
I imagine it was probably Australian themed. I can't say I've ever seen a koala shaped salt shaker. That's difficult without any lubrication. I reckon. I mean, anything up the arse with no lubrication is difficult, but.
Well, I have here a picture of some koala salt and pepper shakers. No, I don't know if these were the ones that he saw, but you can see the immediate problem.
Ooh, the ears.
The ears, they really stick out.
But which end did he go? And how far did he go up his arse? So he put it in, bottom end, and then the head was just sticking out of his arse? Or did he go ears first?
Surely not ears first. But then I guess if you've got the determination to get a salt shaker of any kind up your arse, you've got the determination to get the ears in there.
I guess. Moving on to the bigger question. What the fuck are you doing shoving? Why? Why have you done that? What's the story? I want to know. Were you annoyed?
Yeah.
Were you angry? Were you compelled?
If Anonymous does want to reach out with more details, that would be fantastic. Because
what are you doing? No one just shoves something up their ass for no reason. And then proudly talks about it.
Not so proud that they'd leave their name. They didn't want to be like, I'm Dave Smith and I got thrown out of a restaurant for putting a salt shaker up my ass. This guy, who's got two thumbs and a salt shaker up his ass?
This guy, the way, yeah, the way it just comes over. Where's the salt shaker? You have five guesses. I might possibly do that if
what?
Not a co- no. Hold on. Not a koala one, but I might shove. But I might shove one up my ass just to, and then go, if you can guess where it is in five guesses.
Don't do you, that. Are you fucking
No. Hold on.
You keep saying they, no. Hold on. And then you keep saying horrific shit.
No. If I say, if you can't guess where it is in five guesses, I get my whole meal for free.
That won't work. And secondly, you can't go, I might do that. No. Hold on. That's not what I meant. I meant I might, not a koala one, but I might stick one up my ass. No. Wait. Hold on. Don't do that, obviously.
No, obviously I would never do that. But I would, I guess maybe I wouldn't do that. But if I said to someone, why do you shove a salt shaker up their ass? And it was like, well, I was trying to get my meal for free. I might have a little bit of sympathy. I may be like, okay.
Until they went, my plan was to present them with a challenge.
Why not?
I've got one here. I saw a man trying to pick up a gorgeous woman. I could tell she was just rambling on about her dreams and hopes.
Oh, I hate that.
I did not proof this before I read it out, but I love that. She was just rambling on about her aspirations.
Dreams and hopes.
The meaning of life.
I want to be a doctor. I want to help people.
Yeah, I could tell she was rambling on about her dreams and hopes. And it says dreams and hopes and whatnot.
And whatnot. I want to be a doctor and I also want to take up crocheting.
It says all shit he didn't seem to care about based on his facial expression. All of a sudden, he does sound like try a bit. If you're trying to pick her up, then at least make the effort.
I think it's pretty interesting hearing what people's dreams are, especially when they're stupid.
I knew there was going to be something else to that. I knew you weren't just going to be like, I actually find it interesting hearing people's dreams. I actually find it hearing people's dreams if they're fucking idiots. Anyway, all of a sudden, I saw the man go from tan bronze to pale white.
Because he lost a lot of blood?
Nope. He then proceeded to projectile vomit his entire night's worth of drinking plus his shellfish dinner directly into her face. It turns out she was allergic to shellfish. She had to be EpiPenned and taken to hospital.
Oh, what a nightmare. But her dream and aspiration could have been,
well, to get projectile vomited at. From her perspective, can you imagine what somebody just suddenly their face just drops and then they open their mouth and just
and then all of a sudden she's just looking at it going,
is that a prawn?
Is this shellfish? And he's like, Yeah, I'm sorry. I had the lobster.
I had 40 oysters before I came out. don't know why I feel sick.
She's like, I'm fucking allergic to this. And everyone's like, that's the least of your problems.
It's unfortunate. I think being vomited on is pretty awful. But when you throw into it on top of that,
what you're allergic to. Imagine if she was allergic to vomit. And shellfish.
Wow. What? What?
What?
How can you be allergic to vomit? Vomit's different every time.
You can be allergic to anything.
Anything.
Anything. Anything can make you allergic.
Anything.
Anything. I'm not. You keep asking. Anything can make you allergic. You can be allergic to anything. You can be allergic to glass.
So I've obviously I've Googled this. Because I like to fact check things. As I put in, can you be allergic to? One of the top results was, can you be allergic to sperm?
You can.
Another one, someone's also asked, why am I all of a sudden allergic to everything?
See? You can be allergic to everything. You have a really
can be allergic to water.
Yep.
Fuck!
Yeah, I know. You're like,
you're fucked.
70% water.
Yeah, but surely you wouldn't make it past 3 days.
Well, you just have to have something that's like a water substitute.
A water substitute. Like
saline
olive
solution?
Oil. Saline. What do you think saline solution's made of? And you can't drink that.
Saline. You can drink saline solution.
You shouldn't. You know what saline solution is? You know it's salt water, right?
I think what I'm thinking of, F1 drivers used to drink it.
Saline solution. So I've found the uses for saline solution as cleaning wounds, helping remove contact lenses, and helping with dry eyes.
Hold on.
Have you got a book?
It's not a book. I'm just reading... I'm currently reading Jensen Button's book, and he talks about it.
We'll, I guess, take a short break while Guy leafs through Jensen Button's autobiography. Please bear with us.
Okay. Oh, no! Oh, okay. My bookmark fell out. Here you go, hydration. They do salt checks to see how much salt you lose in your sweat and use these findings to create a special saline solution just for me and Lewis Hamilton. This is a solution we have in the car that's fed to you via a straw that comes up through your helmet and dispensed via a button on the wheel.
Salt water. Oh, well, there you go. You learn something new every day. Well, that probably about does it for Tales from Behind the Bar this week. But to round us off, last week we played Would You Rather? And it got a little tense. We disagreed on a lot of stuff. Now, we ran our fourth Twitter poll based on the Would You Rather that we played, and we asked people whether they agreed with me or Guy on the testicle fiasco. The question was, would you rather have 17 testicles or one coconut-sized testicle? The results came back. 40% of people are on Team Guy and would have 17 testicles. 60% are with me, one coconut testicle. Which I believe, if I check the last call scoreboard, is my fourth win out of four polls. So you owe me
I was just
quid.
Like to point out that wait, whoa! How do I owe you 20 quid? I just want to point out, I don't control the Twitter.
The fuck does that have to do with anything?
Also, I don't quote retweet the polls on my own personal Twitter. I think I did once. I did once on the £5 bet one because. It's a £5 bet, but every poll you quote retweet.
Yeah,
and I don't think personal.
I don't think my 30 followers are doing anything to help here. I think you are losing because you're wrong. But I tell you what, I'll hit you with a new Would You Rather. I've been looking through Would You Rathers, and I found one that I quite like. I'd want to get your opinion on this, and if we disagree, we can put it to a poll, and I won't retweet it on my personal account at Barman of Bath. Would you rather get electrocuted for 10 seconds or get slapped 20 times? It says at the bottom, no long-term effects.
What are you saying?
What are you saying?
No.
I think I'd take getting electrocuted for 10 seconds.
I think the same, and I'll tell you why. And you're going to need to put this... and you're going to need to put this up... Can you let me screen share so I can just show you?
Yeah, absolutely.
you're going to need to put this up on our Twitter. So this is the reason why I would rather be electrocuted. I've got a clip here. So for the people listening, obviously, so this guy Vasilis, he's obviously the guy on the left. Humongous dude.
He's a hefty fella.
Humongous dude. He's about to go up against what can only be described as Avicii's weird off the rails cousin. We'll put this up on our Twitter so you can go check out this video, but it's a guy who's got the weird tongue thing where it's like cut in half and he can twist it round.
Oh, like the snake's tongue. Yeah, I see him. This is an odd looking fella. So we've got this behemoth of a man. And then this, I can't say ending well for the pasty kid, but go on.
So this guy's 70 kilos and...
He's 177 kilos. He's got 107 kilos on this guy.
Yeah, he's fucking ridiculous. Okay, here we go.
Fucking hell, he's a big fella. Oh, my God! Oh, he came back with the big slap!
Oh my God!
Fucking hell! Look
how fucking brutal it was. Knocks his fucking snap back off.
I know. Oh! He goes down.
Are you ready for the slow-mo?
Show me the slow-mo.
Sends him into the stratosphere. Yeah, so that is exactly why I would not want to be slapped 20 times. I'd much rather be electrocuted. It's ridiculous.
I agree. We will have to put that up as a poll and see what people think. And we will share the video that we were watching just then on our Twitter if you want to check it out. I know it's not the world's most entertaining thing to listen to us laugh our ass off at people getting slapped, but it is worth watching that video. There are some behemoths slapping away. Well, unfortunately, that is time at the bar.
It's time for us to finish our drinks and head home.
If you want to keep up to date with what we're doing during the week, follow us on Twitter @lastcall_pod or go to our website, thelastcallpodcast.co.uk.
Please don't forget to get your drinks back to the bar, and we will see you next week.